I want to go through the letter of Colossians with you in the next couple of weeks. Colossians is a real strong part of the Bible that combats wrong thinking and heresy and falsehood and things like that. And I'm going to try to approach it that all of us as Christians, just like the Colossian Christians, we were probably susceptible and still are to wrong thinking, thinking this way about God that is not true, or seeing the Lord and yet thinking, well, we probably should have something besides Jesus, don't you think? You think he's a little lacking for us over there? So that's easy for us to get into. And it would be a nice exercise someday, not today, but for all of us to write down on a half a sheet of paper the things we believed about the Lord that we used to believe, but we know are not true today. Okay. Because you wouldn't want to be the person to say, I believed right all the time from the beginning. I mean, I was just I was Mr. Accurate theologically from the time I was a first born again Christian all the way to now. No, you've been following the Lord for 40 years and you're still learning things, and I'm learning things that are true about him that we're missing, or we have false things that God has to get out of our error some ways. Okay, so we want to be like the Colossians, be willing to take that refocus on the Lord, because he does help us out in every way. And so one theme of a passage might be, good heavens, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. And so what Paul does in the letter is correct a lot of falsehoods and really put the focus on Christ in a very honoring way to him. And so here's refuting heresy by pointing to Jesus. He'll straighten out wrong belief, wrong thinking faster than anybody. Fight falsehood by turning to Christ. Again, our susceptibility to live in a world of falsehood and have souls that are crooked and corrupt. I think it was Robbie Zacharias who said, there's only one way to stand straight, and there's a million ways to be crooked. There's a million ways to be wrong. But with Jesus being true and the straight one, he's powerful enough to take care of the million ways that we're most likely to go astray. So just confess to the Lord the things that you're off about, and I'll do the same. And then conquer lies by telling of Jesus the truth. I find this very good in relationships. Once we bring him into the conversation, usually people get on the same page if they're willing to say, oh, you know, this is Jesus is the truth here, so we better follow him. On a practical level, how would your home look if Jesus physically spent the next week with you? You know, what kind of things would be different? Joy increase, love increase, just a general sense of well-being. Also, maybe a little uptight. Oh boy, I can't live like I'm used to living. It's the Lord, you know. Well, as a matter of fact, he's there in your home. Same thing on your job. How different would your job be? How different would your classroom be? How different would you see the world if you saw it as Christ, through whom all things hold together, and around everything, he is the middle. Okay, then that's the way the world is, and anything other than that is an error, like the best pirate has a lot of errors throughout the season, Pittsburgh Pirate, that is. Okay, and so when you look at the world, one Bible commentator said this, Paul's trying to help these people, and Paul is a man who has great intellect and warm-heartedness. So we appreciate God's word coming that way from Paul. But what's really happening today in the world, you know, you turn your TV on and you could say, I wonder what these news editors say is happening. Let's see. And we often take it as that's the most important thing happening. Whatever they said, that must be the news, you know, because they know. And so whatever the editor says, fine. Whatever the newscaster says, fine. But what would God say about today? What would God say about today? Well, first thing he would say is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of His glory. So wherever you are, and wherever the newscaster is, and whatever they're talking about, we should know this. That place is full of God. Why? Because God is omnipresent. And so He's there to be known and trusted and followed. Now, if we don't think that's the news, that's on us. If we're content with, you know, what's happening in the weather, Chiefs versus 49ers, I'll be glued to the TV. Or the government, that's what's really important. No, put those things in light of the whole earth is full of His glory. You'll see those things a lot differently. You'll see many opportunities to repent. You'll say, I think this is really the way things are in that manner. So God presents Himself as such in the letter of Colossians. Good news is going all over the world in verse 6 and changing lives everywhere. So we want to see the momentum God has in bringing good news to the world. Two blessings Paul gives to these Colossians. He says, I thank God for you when I pray. So there's always people praying, Lord willing, and you're one of them. Then he says, I heard of your faith in Christ. I heard of your love for all the people. So God wants us to really be grounded in those two activities. Lord, help me trust you. Lord, help me to love people in the moment, right, who are in front of me. And God's faithful to help have us do that. God also reminds the Colossians that the physical world was important in terms of following Jesus. Now, we know God is a spirit, and there was a spiritual world before a physical world, I guess, in terms of the Big Bang and cosmology and all that. God, invisible, existed before the universe. Physical existed. So, but God says the physical is important to Him because He created it. Take all the people, all the trees, all the activities that happen in the garden and so forth, and the dogs and cats, and those things. And God said this, it is good. It is good. Why in the world would Christians want to escape the physical world that God made good? I don't know. I don't know. You'll have to take it up with the Lord. Okay. He made you body, soul, and spirit. So the physical is important to Him. Someday He'll make a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus rose from the dead physically. His body was different than yours and mine, but He ate fish. And so, you know, angels don't eat fish as far as we know. Maybe they do. But the physical world, important to God. So it's important to God's people. Because God said it is good. Fallen, yes. Thorns and thistles, yes. But you better pay attention to it because God didn't make you an angel with a halo. You're visible, not invisible. And so the goodness of the physical world. And secondly, Paul was trying to combat just thinking that knowledge was where it was at above how people would live. And also he wanted to combat the idea that evil and good were in an equal battle for superiority. Like the 49ers and Chiefs, somewhat equal. So a lot of times you and I as Christians, we think, okay, there's evil out there. In this corner, it's like a big heavyweight match. In this corner, weighing 250 pounds, we have evil, sin, and the devil. And in this corner, weighing 250 pounds, we have the Lord God Almighty. Okay, go at it, and we sure hope the Lord somehow pulls out a victory. You know, and often we get the impression He's really waiting for us to help Him out because it appears to be He's losing the match head over heels, especially the way you and I often talk. We would think, good heavens, we might as well bow down and, you know, surrender. But if He is the Lord God Almighty, then the contest is assured. And so We get to follow him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the enemy, which is real, is certainly put in his place under his feet. Now, if we choose to follow the wrong, then that's our loss. But Paul points to Jesus as the all-sufficient one, all-sufficient to fight against things that are broken in our lives, a strange relationship. He's sufficient. The sin problem and real guilt, Christ is sufficient. The mortality of human beings, he will fight cancer on your behalf, walking with you and giving you remission or taking you to victory. He is Lord over all the brokenness of the world. So we could give him praise, and Paul wanted the Colossians to know that. He writes from prison, but he still sees Jesus as Lord in the midst of it all. And so wanted to really concentrate on verse 6, if we could, the increasing of God's good news and the growing of it. And here's some corresponding verses. This good news of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This is what Jesus said about his second coming, one of the things. So it's a pretty key verse, motivates us to share Christ and to have Christ move throughout the earth. This is happening today in a great way, and it has happened more and more rapidly as time has gone on. And so it's a wonderful thing. If you're an author or a musician, consider writing a book about the second coming where this verse is a key in your theme of the second coming, because it's quite an important thing. And I think you'll be honoring the Lord as you do. You know, so many nations have been reached, and so many more will be reached. And then the end will come. So it's a good, exciting promise the Lord gives us. Here's another verse of increase. He says to his followers, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This happens when you turn to Christ and receive him. God's Spirit comes in your life. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where they were. And then Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What a promise. So we're not going to stop at the border of, Irwin over here. Okay. To the ends of the earth. Someone brought it to us. We pass it on gladly all the way to Ecuador and the Middle East. And, Africa is a continent. Supposedly 10,000 people a day in Africa are turning to Christ, the continent of Africa. In China, just that one country with, virus problems, 16,000 people a day turning to Christ in China. Okay, this is why witnesses are going forward. Interesting, the Prime Minister of Israel, when he was interviewed last week about possible peace, he said, we as Israel, we need security around us. We need land in Judea and Samaria. So he still was like, hey, this area is important. I don't know whether he got that from Acts 1 or Acts 1 got that from the Jewish people realizing Jesus was saying that's going to turn to God, or at least there'll be news of the Lord in there, Judea and Samaria. So that's the gospel moving forward. We're thankful for that. A couple examples coming up here. Increase of God's ways in our lives. Growing. Every branch that does bear fruit, that's a Christian, whose character is being changed, sharing Christ, God will prune so that it will be even more fruitful. Sometimes I think of my life, and I hear you share, well, I was really close to the Lord in my 20s. And, the Bible every day, and I couldn't get enough of just showing his love and so forth. But now it's close to the end, so who knows. Jesus said, so that you would be even what? More fruitful. More fruitful. If you're a Christian, you and I, God's will is that we be more fruitful than we were once upon a time. Okay, so God's ways, really, really special. increasing His influence and fruit in our lives. Revelation, the picture of heaven, is all the people are reached with opportunities to turn to Christ. John really hits this good in Sunday school. Chosen, yet chance to say yes. Every tribe, language, people, nation. Chapter 5. Chapter 7. Every nation, tribe, people, language. So again, so glad that God invites everybody to know His Son, to go to heaven. And then the transformation again in our soul. We are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. And Paul wanted the people to know, look, God's faithful to help you with this. Keep trusting Him. Keep loving. And He will grow and increase the fruit of His gospel. So in a practical way, you're on the team with the momentum. You're on the winning tribe of the Lord. You're on the winning kingdom. You're not on the kingdom of darkness. Now, if that's all you watch, and if that's all you think about, get your head out of the bucket, you know, and see life. See life as God describes it. And you'll say, the whole earth was full of God's glory last week. We want our eyes to be open to that. Not on a emotional high, but on a trust level. Growth. A couple people who experienced that in their lives, they wrote hymns about it, just coming to the close here. Edward Mote wrote On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. His parents were owners of a bar. He said growing up, he didn't even know there was God at all. And yet he writes when he meets Christ, Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Found his solidity in the Lord. That's a picture of what God can do. Your life, my life, in the life of your friend or family member. Here's Kate Wilkinson, who, when she read the verse, I have this mind among you, which is also in Christ. She just prayed this way. May the word of God dwell richly in my soul from hour to hour. What a great prayer. She's going to have a good day in her soul. Because she's wanting, like Shelley's song there, being at the feet of Jesus. So that all may see I triumph only through His power. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. That's a promise from the Old Testament. So God's Word, His love, growing in the life of the believer. Joseph Swain, Orphan Joseph Swain, who became a pastor, goes from no love, maybe bounced around too much by adults, knowing God, pointing people to God. O God, in whose presence my soul takes delight, my comfort by day, my song in the night. He knew hard times. God can be your comfort in the day, song in the night. Okay, the light, not under the bushel, but the darkness not understanding, the darkness not overcoming, the light of Christ and how faithful God is. Then Mary Thompson, big on mission, she said, proclaim to every people, tongue, and nation that God in whom they live and move is love. It's pretty, here's an evangelistic verse I've never used, but you go up to your person, friend who's an agnostic or, you know, doesn't know the Lord and say, they say, what do you know about God or, you know, what do you believe about God? You could say, you could start if you want. Did you know that God, in whom you live and move, is love? In other words, God's loved you even though you paid no attention to Him all these years. And wouldn't you like to know Him and trust Him? And would you hear some things that Jesus said about Himself? Many people who are against Jesus never even read some of the things Jesus said. So the increase of good news out of your soul, increase to the people around us. It's a wonderful thing. Isaac Watts, everywhere that you and I can be, God is present there. In closing illustration would be, again, the increase of God's good news happened in the life of an unlikely character in the 1960s. Some of us listen to him still, even though he's dead. J. Vernon McGee on the radio. He was seemed to be out of the backwoods. He said he had a chance to be on the radio for 1 month. 1 month. He said he planned on falling flat on his face. Didn't expect to go anywhere. You know, he says, here I am. I'm just going to read the Bible and say what it says. And then a month turned into 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. He goes to heaven. The good news keeps increasing, you know, and lives continue to be changed. So this is the way God is. His good news increases and grows and does so through people like you and me and J. Vernon McGee, no rhyme intended. And then it really lives out what Paul said in Ephesians 3. God does more than we ask or think by his power working in us. So we're glad to be lights for him and growing more fruitful as we look to Jesus, our Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your faithful progress in the world. We don't hear about that much. We hear about a lot of other stuff, and sometimes we get our heads stuck in the toilet, as it were, looking at anything but the way you are. And so, might your good news continue to set us free and be passed on in a good manner by people to people we know and even to nations. As we come to your table, help us rejoice at this reminder of Jesus' death and resurrection made it to our heart. And we praise your name as people do throughout the world, that you died for sinners and rose again and are coming again. Thank you for your faithfulness. Be close to each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.